couple of Sundays ago, as we entered into the week of our annual meeting, I called your attention to a great truth that David gives us in the 119th Psalm. That truth is that the great blessing that is ours in our Christian faith is not that God, like we were talking with the children, not that God gives us something, but that God is with us. Our greatest blessing is simply that we walk with Him in the way, that He walks with us. And yet, as I read through this 119th Psalm, I found an expression that was repeated in five different verses spread through this psalm. And I want to ask you to think with me about that expression today. And for our text, we're going to turn to Psalm 119. And I'm going to read verses 9, 10, and 11. And I would call in particular your attention to the 10th verse. Lord, Father, open your word before our eyes. Open our understanding of your word. Father, convince us in that word. Convict us of things in our lives that need to be changed. Draw us closer to yourself. And that we, like this psalmist, would commit ourselves to love you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. This is the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now I want you to notice that the expression that is found in verse 10 is sandwiched between two thoughts in verse 9 and verse 11. And in both of those verses, we've heard them on many occasions. Verse 9 is often given in reference to, especially to young people. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And then you'll notice that in verse 11, it says that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Well, if the word is the cleansing, then I want to keep his word in me. But sandwiched between those two well-known verses is this central verse. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to take part in a program called A Walk Through the Old Testament. And in that program, it took the entirety of one day to go through everything, every major event, every major purpose, every major theme, every major person in the Old Testament. And the idea was, as you went through that day, they gave you words and hand symbols and motions that would have you remember things. And the idea was that if you spent all day, by the time you got through, you could go through the entire Old Testament in 2 minutes. I'm not sure I ever got it in under 2 minutes. But I do remember some things about it. And one of those had to do with the time of the United Kingdom in the Old Testament and the three parts of that United Kingdom. 40. 40 years each for Saul, David, and Solomon. The thing that I'm calling attention to in that is because there was a hand motion that was given to each one of those three kings that somewhat symbolized them. And it applies to this verse. Saul was a man who had no heart for God. He rebelled against God. God took the kingdom away from him, but he had no heart for God. David loved the Lord with his whole heart. And Solomon was a man who in his older years allowed wives to lead him astray, and he was a king who was very prominent in serving the Lord in the first part of his life, but then turned away from it, and he was a man who served the Lord with half of his heart. In between those two was David, a man who wrote this psalm. David was a man who committed himself to love the Lord with his whole heart. Now, folks, I want to ask you this morning to consider with me why that expression is so very important for us today. It's not just something that David did. We pray for a season of revival. We pray to see our Lord stir up our church. We pray that God would add unto us daily such as should be saved. We want to have a spiritual time. But I'm going to tell you something. This verse holds a key to having that experience. That we love the Lord with our whole heart. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we don't experience the whole joy of the Lord is that we don't serve the Lord necessarily with our whole heart. I want to ask you to look at the words that are mentioned here. With my whole heart, with my undivided heart. And it includes the idea of any and every part. My whole heart. In other words, there's not any corner of it. There's not any consideration of it. There's not any portion of it that is not included. With my whole heart. My heart. In the scriptures, the word that's translated as heart is understood to be used in terms of the center of one's emotion, the center of one's spirit, the center of one's intellect, and the center of one's will. Now, you think about that for a moment. With my whole heart, with my intellect, with my emotions, with my spirit, and with my will. Every and any part of my will will I commit to the Lord. With my whole heart. Now, this is the words that David used, but I want you to notice something. Folks, this is not just David's expression. Go with me, and we'll go first over into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see that this concept is one which Jesus also taught. Matthew chapter 6. I'll read just verses 22 and 23 for the sake of time. But I want you to notice in this passage that Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, if it's divided, if it's filled with things other than the Lord, if it be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. I notice it doesn't say that you'll be a little less light, that you'll have a portion of light. No, if your eye is divided, then you'll have darkness. And how great is that darkness? The eye, what I see, what I think, what I observe, what I feel, that which influences the decisions which I make, if it's single-minded toward the Lord, then you'll be full of light. But if it's not, then you'll have darkness. Now, isn't that the same thing that David was using when he said, with my whole heart? Now, I want you to look at another verse that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. A man came to Jesus and he said, Master, which is the great commandment? Which is the most priority one commandment in the law? That's the idea of the great commandment. It's not just that it's the biggest. It's not just that it's the most quoted. It is the one of the highest priority. What's the most important commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with your intellect, with your emotion, feelings, and with the commitment of your will, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all these things. And then he also said in the second commandment, like to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It also involved all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. Now, folks, the importance that I want to draw to your attention is that when David in the Old Testament called about this seeking with all of his heart, it wasn't just David, because Jesus quoted a passage from the books of the law, and it's included in the book of Exodus. It's also included in the book of Deuteronomy. When Moses told the people, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and he prefaces it by saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You see, David didn't make that up. God had said it. It was true for Moses. It was true for David. It was true in Jesus' day. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It's true today.
Amen.
Thou. I can point a finger at you, but when I do, I've got three pointed back at me. Personally, we shall love the Lord. We shall seek the Lord with all our heart. In the context of the whole book of the Psalms, and there are three different Psalms, and in the handout that's in your bulletin, Psalm 9, Psalm 111, and Psalm 138 are three illustrations. But the word praise is connected with this same idea of whole heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Why? Folks, we can't rightly praise God as the authority in our life and as the Almighty One in the world when we don't keep His Word with our whole being. He's not pleased by sharing His glory. When we look around other gods, when we look around other ideas, when we look around other thoughts than His Word as the governing principle of our life, we can't even rightly praise God. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart. And I want you to notice very quickly, and I'll have to do it very quickly, each one of these verses could be used independently. But I want you to notice the sequence that David uses in here in verse 10, where we read a moment ago. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And he follows that commitment by saying, don't let me wander away. Lord, don't let me wander away from you. And he tells us in that statement that it's so easy for us to do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. We understand from the writing of the Greek language, it carries in that word the idea of being consistent. Ask and keep asking. Don't turn away to another answer. Seek and keep seeking. David said, Lord, with my whole heart I've sought you. Don't let me wander away. You see, there's to be a consistency in our lives. The idea of searching, and searching in light of what needs to be changed in our life. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? The Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is the Word of one who cannot lie. And it's Word that's true and right altogether. And we're to commit our entire heart to it. Go down to verse 145, near the end of the psalm. Verse 145, you'll find that this same idea is repeated. Verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, I sought the Lord. Lord, with my whole heart I sought you. I cried with my whole heart. You see the idea of the urgency? And the knowledge of the need, it wasn't an apathetic thing. It wasn't a careless thing. It wasn't a sometime thing. It was, I cried to the Lord. I cried out loud. I cried with an urgency of my heart. I cried with a need in my life. I cried with my whole heart. I sought the Lord. I have a hymn in our hymnal. The writer of the hymn says, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew it was not I that found the Savior true. It was me seeking Him because He sought me first. You see, this whole thing is the result of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. But when the Spirit of God works in our life, it commands of us and it requires of us a total commitment to the service of the Lord. I sought the Lord with my whole heart. You can look in verse 34. I'm going to go ahead through these very quickly. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Not just do I seek to know with my whole heart, I'm going to observe and obey with my whole heart. Over the years, I've come to understand that one of the chief things that we as humans tend to do, and I put myself in the boat of having done it as well, that I'd read something in the Word of God and one of the first questions, well, does it really mean all of that? Do I really have to do all of this? Do I really have to do all of that? You know what that tells me about me? It tells me that my whole heart, part of my heart, is looking for a way out for me. It hasn't committed itself fully to the Word of the Lord. If I believe that He is true, that He is God, that He is the authority of my life, that He is perfect in everything that He says, then I don't need to ask for an out. He's never going to take me beyond what I need. He's never going to require more of me than He's going to enable me to give. is never going to cost me more than what He's promised me. You see, folks, I've got not only to seek after God, not only do I want to cry out to God, I've got to observe what He tells me with my whole heart. And then verse 119, verse 58, as you read that outline, you'll notice that my bifocal line, trifocal line was across the thing wrong. I think I put 56 on there, but it's 58. In verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. What does it mean by entreating His favor? Asking His faith, be merciful to me. You see, the idea in that word is a recognition. It comes with a recognition that the one thing I need is God's mercy. It comes from a word which carries the idea of weakness and incompleteness. I am weak. Well, we sing the words of the old hymn. I am weak, but He is strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Isn't that what David was asking? That I seek, not only just seek God, not only do I commit to observe His word, I want His favor. I want His mercy. I need His mercy. God owes me nothing. God's promised me because of the righteousness of Christ. But what Christ gave me was mercy. It also carries with it the idea in that word of desire, of entreating. It carries in it the idea of rubbing against. Kind of strange, isn't it? I had the little doggy treats with the kids up here this morning. But if you've got a pet, maybe a cat, maybe a dog, maybe something else. But if you treat it as a pet, and that pet knows that your hand is the hand that feeds it, that pet's going to come and be around you. It's going to rub up against you. It's going to want to be close to you. Over in the book of John, John chapter 4, verse 23, I don't have time to go read the whole of the interaction and the exchange between Jesus and the woman that He met at the well, at Jacob's well in Samaria. But in talking with this man, she became to understand that he was a prophet. And her question turned toward the subject of worship. You say we ought to worship in Jerusalem. Well, I live up here. Our folks say we ought to worship in Samaria. Which one's right? Jesus' answer to her was a very poignant word. That part of it was He said that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God in spirit and in truth. But along with that, in verse 23, it also says, God desireth such to worship Him. God desires us to worship Him. The idea that's used in that word, the Greek word, is that of a pet that rubs the hand of its master. Rubs up against the hand that feeds it. I need Your mercy with my whole being. Because I need it, I ask for it. I entreated. And then notice in verse 69. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me. Not a real pleasant situation. But I will keep thy precepts. Even in the face of their assault, of their assertions against me, of their lies against me, I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Now it goes back to verse 34. Again, I would tell you that one of the reasons it's repeated is because, dear friends, that It's so easy for us in our humanity, for our heart to be fragmented and to be turned aside. I need to keep God's law. I need to keep God's word. We're not under the law. We're under grace. I'm going to tell you, we're still under the word of God. And His word is His rule. His word is His law. His word is His truth. And if I'm going to worship Him, He won't share His glory. If I'm giving part of His glory as the authority in my life to something else, to someone else, He's not going to be pleased. I will love the Lord with the whole of my heart. Will, mind, feelings, intellect. I'm committing it all to follow Him. Now folks, I would ask you the question today. Have we corporately, but more importantly, have I made that level of a commitment to obey God in that way? With everything I have. I was part of a discussion one time, and I'll close with this application. I was part of a discussion one time back in the dark ages when I was in college with a group of young men. And the subject of marital faithfulness came up. And the reason for the discussion of the subject was because of desire to be involved with multiple sexual partners. And part of that discussion came around this way. Well, if I'm going to be, can I do this? Can I get this close? Am I going over the edge if I go here? And you see, the idea was I'm asking, what can I do and get out of doing what God told me to do? That was about that subject. I would tell you that we often do it with many subjects in our lives. During the time of our meeting, the days that led up to it, the days that have been afterwards, these set of verses have been heavily upon my heart about Lee Chambers. But I would ask you to pray today. Can you put your name in that place that there may be something in your life that needs to be cleansed? That there may be something in your life that needs to be recommitted or fully committed with your whole heart in the service of God? You can't serve Him with part of your heart and love Him. If a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. If I'm going to love the Lord with my whole heart, then I've got to obey His word. Lord, help me not to turn aside from Your commandments. Lord, the world is against me. Help me not to stray. I will love You in spite of the world. Folks, may we be like David was, using 4 times, 50 times a day if need be, Lord, with my whole heart. Oh Lord God, how easily it is to find ourselves turned aside by some thought from the world, by some babble or bauble of glitz and glamour that the world places in front of us. How easy it is with the idea of pleasure or prominence that we can turn our heart toward doing it the world's way and look for ways that we can be less than wholly committed. Lord, may this day I commit myself wholly to You. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.